This call is being recorded.
Good morning, and thank you for joining. My name is Jennifer Renix, and I am the Communications and Policy Director for the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. And this morning, we are joined by two of my colleagues, Adam Reeves, who is in our Asheville office and who is working on high-risk energy choices here in the Southeast, as well as Amelia Shenstone, who's in our Atlanta office. And they are going to be presenting the rollout of our new website that we are partners with, which is part of a project with southeastcoalash.org. So without further ado, I am going to turn this over to Adam, who's going to talk us through this resource and the different options that the newly revised platform entails. Adam?
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for joining us as well. My name is Adam Reeves, and I'm the High Risk Energy Coordinator with SAFE. This morning, I want to spend about 10 minutes walking you through three key features of the revamped southeastcoalash.org that might support your work. And then we'll take a few minutes to answer any questions that you have. At this point, it'd be helpful if you pull up southeastcoalash.org on your computer if it's available, and I'll give you just a little bit of background about the website while you pull it up. The website was originally launched in December 2012, and it's managed by SAFE in partnership with Appalachian Voices, the Southern Environmental Law Center, and the North Carolina Conservation Network. The first feature I want to highlight on the website is the Southeast Power Plant map. It's the first thing you'll see when you come to the homepage of the site. It identifies power plants in the Southeast with smokestack icons, and zooming in on a power plant will reveal its coal ash pit outlined in yellow. These pits are often unlined and separated from our waterways by earthen dams that can leak or, as in the case of the Kingston disaster, catastrophically rupture. Each smokestack icon on the map is color-coded to provide the latest EPA hazard rating for these dams, and these hazard ratings indicate different levels of risk to human life and property. Red indicates that a dam failure is likely to cause loss of human life. Orange indicates dam failure is likely to cause significant economic loss, environmental damage, or damage to infrastructure. Brown indicates that dam failure would likely not result in human life or in loss of human life and would only result in low economic or environmental losses. And gray simply means it's not rated. But there's a lot more information on the site at your fingertips. And that brings me to the next feature of the site, which are the facility pages. If you click on a smokestack icon, you can see the power plant's individual facility page. This page provides details about the power plant's owner, its age, its size, and its power production capacity, as well as details about the region and river basin where the plant is located and which local groups you can contact for more information. Utilities are required by EPA's coal ash rule to create websites to host information about their coal ash pit in order to make that information available to the public. And at the top of each of these facility pages, we provide direct links to these utility websites where you can find information on the amount of ash and wastewater stored at the power plant. And in the future, you'll be able to find details on the pit structural stability and whether or not groundwater contamination has been reported, along with quite a few other useful pieces of information. We're currently in the process of reviewing this data and posting it on southeastcoalash.org. You can find the information that we've collected so far on coal ash pits by clicking on the skull and crossbones icon at the bottom of each facility page. And while you're down there, make sure that you click the other four icons if you're interested in seeing more images of the power plant and its ash pits or getting whatever information is available about groundwater and surface water contamination and for direct links to download our data. And the third feature that I want to highlight is our about coal ash page and subpages. So these pages context the issues that surround coal ash, and as you can see if you're hovering on the menu now, There are pages that include coal ash risk to public health and the environment. We provide succinct overviews of the Kingston and Dan River disasters, the Kingston in particular, which raised alarm about coal ash throughout the U.S. and sparked efforts at the federal level to regulate the toxic waste. And as utilities begin to close coal ash pits throughout our region, we know that closure doesn't necessarily mean that cleanup of the pits will be thorough and that the risk of ground and surface water contamination will be eliminated. That's why our coal ash tab also includes details about coal ash wet and dry storage and analysis of the pros and cons of potential risks around coal ash reuse. You can also check out our state pages under the same menu for an overview of the history and regulation of coal ash in your state and explore EPA's coal ash rules to learn more about the strengths and potential weaknesses of the federal regulations that we currently have. And I'll wrap up by just talking briefly about what's coming next. EPA's coal ash rule requires utilities to provide lots of information through their public coal ash website. And some of the data on these websites will be updated on an annual basis and will be updated our facilities pages and our maps as the new best available data becomes available. And the next big deadline to keep your eye on is November 16th, which is the deadline that utilities have to post information about how they plan to close ash pits, if they are in fact planning to close any. They'll be telling us the method that they're planning to use. They also need to identify whether their pits are lined or unlined, and they need a qualified professional engineer to certify the hazard level of their dams. So we're certainly interested in this information, and we know that folks covering this issue will probably be very interested as well. So we'll be making that data available as soon as we can. And with that, I want to first thank you for listening and open up the line for any questions we may have.
Thank you, Adam. At this time, I am going to unmute all lines. If you have a question, please state your name and your outlet and then pose your question. And I've actually had a couple of questions chatted in, but I'm going to go ahead and unmute lines. And if anybody has a question, please ask now, and otherwise I will read off a few of these questions. Okay, let me go with the first one here while we wait to see if anybody else on the line has one. The question, Adam, is there a way to print the material from the website?
Sure, that's a great question. I think probably the best way to do that, since there is a lot of data, is to go to the Learn More tab, which is the far right option on the menu of the site. And underneath the drop-down menu, there are four options. The third option is Reports and Resources. And the first tool that comes up under reports is create your own coal ash report, an interactive tool. And this is basically a way to use our website to generate a report on a utility or a state or a combination thereof. And it'll basically create a nice, succinct PDF report of the data that we have in a way that's easy to print off. So that's a great way to just have something in hand and to examine it in that way.
Okay, thank you, Adam.
Sure.
Sorry. another question which follows up a little what you were saying there towards the end. Where does the data on each individual coal ash impoundment or power plant come from?
Right, that's a good question. So right now, it's a mixture of different sources. After the Kingston disaster back in 2008, EPA requested a lot of information from utilities as they were attempting to assess the potential risk of impoundment, especially the risk of catastrophic failure. And so utilities across the United States basically took a survey and sent in information to EPA. We, at the time, through that and a combination of some of the environmental groups at the federal that work at the national level, through a combination of FOIAs and our Freedom of Information Act requests and some of the information EPA made available online, we identified the various impoundments at these power plants, started to map them out, and put the information that we received through Freedom of Information Act requests or from this online or from the survey that EPA made available. We combined those sources of data and built the back end of the website and the information that's being presented. I'll take this as a chance to just say what I'm excited about with the coal ash rule. I think it's exciting to finally have requirements for utilities to give, you know, specific types of information to actually disclose the amount of coal ash that they have at their facilities, and especially to disclose certain information about groundwater contamination if they find any. So a lot of that information is coming in the future, and it's not yet being required of utilities to present that information. But the purpose of our site is basically to make all of that information and all of those sources that would be pretty tough for someone just to go hunt down on their own, to bring it on it all into one place and make it easy to access.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Are there any other questions at this time? If there are no other questions, then I will go ahead and conclude this webinar by saying the new website in question is southeastcoalash.org, and we will have information about this website on our website. We are the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, so our website is cleanenergy.org. And this recording will be on SACE's website, and we will circulate the information to the reporters on this call. And we thank you very much for your time and your interest in this important energy topic. Bye-bye.